Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Zoltan Rona as my special expert guest. Dr. Zoltan P. Rona is a graduate of McGill University Medical School and has a master's degree in biochemistry and clinical nutrition from the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. Dr. Rona is a past president of the Canadian Holistic Medical Association and is the author of three Canadian best-selling books, including The Joy of Health, Return to the Joy of Health, and Childhood Illness and the Allergy Connection. Dr. Rona is a co-author with Jean-Marie Martin of the Complete Candida Yeast Guidebook and is the medical editor of the Benjamin Franklin Award-winning Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. He has also authored a complete series of healthy living guides published by Alive Books. Dr. Rona has managed a private medical practice in Toronto for the past 27 years, has appeared on radio and TV, and has lectured extensively in Canada and the United States. Good morning, Dr. Rona, and thanks for participating as my special expert guest on this edition of SNU.
Well, it's very nice to be here.
I haven't seen you for a while, and I know that you're a very busy man. You have a reputation as a medical doctor who specializes in food therapy and nutrition and natural remedies. Perhaps you can tell our listeners why it is that you practice this style of medicine, Zoltan, and what it is that you have to offer to your patients.
Well, basically, I got interested in this kind of medicine because of my experiences as an athlete. As you may know, I play tennis tournaments, and I have been playing tennis most of my life. And from time to time, I get ranked in Canada. So depending on how much time I have to devote to it, I am very interested in competitive tennis. And when I was going through medical school, I was amazed to see that there was really nothing on how to improve one's athletic performance using natural means. And, you know, I investigated this subject quite extensively myself, and I found that, to my amazement, most of the ways in which we eat or what kind of nutritional supplements we take can make a huge difference, you know, in performance, athletic performance. And not only that, but a lot of this is very well scientifically documented. It's not as if these things are sort of folklore, but, you know, there have been a lot of very good scientific studies. In fact, even better than, you know, some of the conventional medical studies. For example, we have various dangerous drugs being taken off the market, antibiotics, chemotherapy, and you name it. And, you know, as far as I know, most of the things that I've been recommending over the years as far as natural treatments, they haven't killed anybody. And they are, if not as effective, even more effective than some of the conventional treatments. The other thing is I got interested in this kind of field because it invites patient participation. So in other words, it encourages people to work with their doctors and take some responsibility for their health and not just be a spectator in their health care. So for all of those reasons, you know, I found this area very interesting and very rewarding.
Well, when you mentioned the science behind what drives our industry and the concept of using natural remedies forward, it reminds me recently I was having a chat with my barber, and she said, you know, Corey, I'm not sure whether to take glucosamine sulfate because one of my customers came in who's a retired orthopedic physician, and he said that glucosamine and the MSM is absolutely useless and has no value whatsoever and is a waste. So what is your response to that? And he said, because there's no science to back it up at all. So how can a guy be thinking like that? And what impact is he making on people like, say, my barber?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that there are such ignorant doctors out there. I think the major problem is that they haven't read any of the research. They're basically getting educated by the pharmaceutical industry, you know, and we can see the results of that. We have drugs like Celebrex and Vioxx and other drugs which are basically causing cardiac arrest and premature death in people that have never had heart problems before. So I want to, you know, basically reassure people that there is an awful lot of research out there, and for someone to say that glucosamine and MSM have no effect, it's preposterous.
Would you also agree that there is some form of prejudice in the printing of the materials that are in these leading Canadian medical journals?
I would say there is. There's an awful lot of prejudice. In fact, recently, when there was, I'm not going to mention any names here, but recently when the Canadian Medical Association Journal published something that was critical of the drug companies or of, you know, some sort of drug method, basically what happened is those people, the editors and the authors, were fired from the medical journal. So there's an awful lot of bias in medical journal reporting, and most of the information that comes through, you know, that supports the kind of healthcare and the natural field that we're involved in, basically comes from biochemical journals, nutritional journals. It comes from non-medical or non-drug company supported journals.
Now, does your method of practice attract a different type of patient?
Oh, absolutely. I find that most of the patients that see me, they really want to take control of their own health. They want to be more responsible for what happens to them. They're usually well-educated people. They're the type of people that come into my office on the first visit or on several other visits later on, bringing reams of material that they either researched off the internet or got through some sort of health magazine. And they're usually very well-read people and higher educated.
So the people coming in are not just looking to you like the stereotypical god of medicine, but they are participating in their own health, and you're actually teaching them how to participate.
Basically, what I do is I direct them to the right kind of information that would possibly help them in their particular case. I offer them alternatives to prescription drugs. I find that the majority of patients who are on prescription drugs, I would say at least 80% of them, do not need the drugs and need to make diet and lifestyle changes. So I'm not there to preach. I'm there to offer them, you know, alternative information, which usually works.
Now, I know myself, I've had several mentors influence me in my past and even my present. Can you think of any particular mentors that have made an impact in your life, Zoltan?
Well, I would have to say the most significant individual here is Dr. Jeffrey Bland, and I've been a follower of his for, geez, I guess 25 years or longer. I still subscribe to his regular functional medicine update. It used to be called Preventive Medicine Update. You know, I still find him to be one of the best sources of information. But I do attend different seminars and, you know, read the latest things that are coming out through research. But I find that Bland is still probably the most knowledgeable in all the field out there.
Isn't that amazing? Because I was just listening to FMU this morning. I also subscribe to his audio program, and he's a mentor. And it's actually where I got the idea, Zoltan, for SNU, from FMU.
Oh, really?
About 5 years ago, I put this thing out, and we're doing our 51st edition now. But I've been subscribing about 15 years, and mm-hmm. I just think this idea of mental protein coming through the audio channels, like listening in your car, or like I listen to it every morning when I'm doing my dry brush massage, is absolutely fantastic.
Well, I listen to it on my way into work, on my way home from work, and today, as a matter of fact, I was listening to it, and it was talking about nutrigenomics, the influence of food on genetic expression.
Absolutely.
That's this month's issue.
Yes, it's yes.
Quite interesting how food and, you know, what kind of food choices we make, what kind of impact they have on our genes. And so it's not a given that if we're born with certain tendencies for, let's say, breast cancer or osteoporosis or heart disease, etc., it's not a given that we're going to get those things regardless of what we eat, but that we can actually do something, we can be proactive and change our genetic direction. So it's fascinating that all this kind of research is now, you know, coming out.
Yeah, and we're going to make sure we send you a library, our last complete volume, so we can add SNU to your list of audio features.
Yes, I've listened to one volume of it, and I think it's excellent.
Well, I wanted to focus on athletics. You know, Bland doesn't really get into that, although at times he has touched on it. Looking at, you know, the importance of prevention of sarcopenia and exercise as part of his promotion. But mm-hmm. I wanted something that got to the heart of the athlete and sports nutrition so that we could concentrate on, like, what is CREATE and how does it work? And talking to people like yourself or biochemists or CEOs of that manufacture the stuff and Olympic athletes and massage therapists and that kind of thing.
Right. You know, like, my focus in my practice is nutrition and biochemical assessments, etc. But, You know, I've often told patients, I said, you know, they come in with this list of 15 different vitamin and mineral supplements, but they don't exercise. And so I said, well, listen, you know, you're far better off, you know, to put that all aside, eat a healthy diet, and get into regular aerobic exercise, or even if you haven't done anything, to at least get onto a walking program. It makes such a huge difference. So for me, I mean, I would rather see patients doing that sort of thing, because I believe that that has more of an impact on health than taking a whole bunch of pills.
Absolutely, and very well said. Now, I've got The Joy of Health in my personal library. It's a great read, and perhaps should be in everyone's library, but maybe you could talk about some of the major guiding principles that you wrote about in that first release, The Joy of Health.
Well, at the time when I wrote it, it was during a period of time when very few doctors were involved in natural healing, and for the most part, we were considered either quacks or people who probably could only be tolerated at best. But my basic philosophy, you know, I derived much of it from, you know, some of the work of Jeff Bland and Abram Hoffer, Carlton Fredericks, Pavel Arola, and many other authors of the time. And, for example, Roger Williams' work on biochemical individuality and so on. And, you know, I got it in my head that, you know, basically, people are all biochemically unique, and they all have different needs as far as nutrition is concerned, as far as supplements are concerned. Some of them, none of that stuff works, and they need medications. Some of them probably, you know, just need to exercise, and they need to get rid of sugar from their diet in order to heal themselves. So I got into some, you know, fairly basic issues at that time, and I found that when I applied that in my practice, the information in that book, it produced some startling results. And I wanted to point out to the public at that time, you know, the differences between the many different natural fields, naturopathy, chiropractic, etc. So those are the basic principles in Joy of Health.
Now, what about in Return to the Joy of Health? If I was considering buying either one right now, would you recommend both or just the newer second edition?
I would recommend the second edition, because that incorporates everything in Joy of Health, plus it updates all that information, and then it provides a lot more information on specific diseases and what you can do proactively diet-wise. And it talks about some of the newer supplements at the time when I wrote the book.
Now, it's amazing your understanding and connection to individual biochemistry, and the fact that you mentioned Roger Williams, him being the father. Now, getting back to nutrigenomics and nutrigenetics, what do you think about the new testing kits that are coming out and even direct marketing now? I've been bombarded lately with a number of different companies that are trying to promote using a test kit to decide in advance whether or not you need a certain range of vitamins, for example?
Well, I'm very interested in all that. I have not tried it, because I'm waiting to see some sort of consensus. It's not that I don't believe that this thing will make an impact. I think it eventually will, and will eventually become mainstream. But right now, it's for me, it's kind of early to tell whether I should be using these kind of things rather than or instead of the conventional test, because I seem to be getting very good results with the conventional tests as well. And people are still, at this point, coming in to see me for specific health concerns and problems. So we've already sort of established what the problems are. I think in people who are generally healthy and who are into athletic performance and enhancing athletic performance, I think there might be a much better application. So I'm just sort of waiting to see what other doctors are going to be doing with this, because this is, at this point, pretty cutting edge.
Now, natural medicine includes a vast number of therapies and products, such as antioxidants and botanical medicines, homeopathics, sport nutrition. Do you specialize in any one of those areas, Zoltan?
Yes. My main interest is in doing biochemical assessments and then recommending diet changes, natural supplements, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, herbs. I do a lot of blood testing, food allergy testing. We do hair mineral analysis, amino acid analysis. So my focus is primarily biochemistry. And I'm interested in a lot of the immune system imbalances that people are having, and I treat a lot of patients here with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, you know, various chronic ailments. And so what I'm looking to do is to find a way of treating these people without using drugs.
So the average patient coming in to see you is involved in their health, but do you actually explain some of the outcomes of the analysis? Because a lot of the patients that I speak to who have conventional physicians, it's almost like doctors hide the information from their patients.
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because most of my patients are quite shocked when I give them copies of their lab reports. I give everyone a copy of their blood and urine tests and all the other tests that we run on them, and I go through the information with them and tell them what the tests mean, because I feel that part of the reason why they're going to get better is if they understand exactly what's going on in their body, because if they can visualize what's going on in their liver, their kidneys, their brain, etc., I think they'll have a more motivation and a greater understanding, and I think it would foster a quicker improvement in their health.
Now let's get to your own personal connection to tennis. I know, is this a master's athletic level?
At this stage in my life, yes, because I'm playing in the over 55 tournaments here in Ontario and in Canada when I have the time.
Because I also am a hammer thrower in track and field, in master's track and field. And what I see, and maybe you see it too, is that there's a lot of enthusiasm in, like, I'm 48 and you're a bit beyond me, but in our age group, there are people that love their sport and they're connected to the thrill of competition, but they're not well. I see a lot of inflammation, some excess body fat. They don't really seem to get the nutrition. Do you also see that?
Yes, I do. And I'm not sure exactly. It's different for every case, because we have a lot of patients in my practice who are into athletics and who are in tremendous shape and have been, you know, basically following, you know, healthy principles for years. And others, not so much. And, you know, it's highly individual.
So you pretty much need a connection, though, to nutrition. Like for example, what would you recommend to an athlete that's suffering with, say, chronic inflammation of a particular joint? What would be your approach?
My favorite treatment these days for that, and the one I've seen the best results with, are pancreatic digestive enzymes. I think there's some brand names like Wobenzyme, Intenzyme Fort by Biotics Research, and Pancreatin. There's many different brands out there. But when you use these particular products, if you take them with a meal, they help digest food better and they relieve any kind of digestive problems. But when you take them on an empty stomach, half an hour before or approximately 3 hours after a meal, and you take somewhere between 3 and 5 of these, it seems to make a huge difference to reduce inflammation. And I've had patients coming back, you know, 3 weeks after starting these and telling me that their tendonitis, you know, that they've had for 10 years has disappeared for the first time. And I get these incredible stories about how these things, you know, without any kind of side effects, get rid of inflammation better than aspirin and some of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
So because intense physical exercise, especially competitive, is almost an inflammatory event, it's almost like everyone should have an enzyme product in their vitamin chest.
Absolutely. Enzymes. There's some people get great results with just using high doses of bromelain, which is a pineapple-based enzyme. Other people use plant enzymes. But I found the best results with the pancreatic enzymes.
And what are your thoughts on the omega-3 fatty acids?
Yes, that's another way of getting an anti-inflammatory response. You know, high-dose antioxidants, high-dose vitamin C. In fact, in my practice now, I'm using intravenous vitamin C, and we're using it mainly for treating cancer, but people tell me that that makes a huge difference. We're using up to 75 grams or 75,000 milligrams over a period of 2.5 hours. And we're also using something called a Myers cocktail. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. That's a combination of different minerals, calcium, magnesium, pantothene, vitamin C, and several others. And we give that intravenously and getting great relief for patients with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic tendonitis, and arthritis.
I learned of Myers when I worked at Finlandia Pharmacy and my connection to some of the chelation physicians. Do you also practice chelation therapy?
Yeah, I'm doing chelation in my practice. I started doing that rather late in my practice, about 7 or 8 months ago now, and I've been, you know, quite pleased with the results that I'm seeing.
Well, in a nutshell, can you explain what chelation therapy is and does?
Sure. Well, what happens is that we inject into the vein something called EDTA, which is a synthetic amino acid. It's relatively well tolerated by the body. And when it's injected, it gets into the circulation and binds onto toxic heavy metals and excessive calcium that may be deposited in the arteries. And it basically works like a kind of a cleansing of the entire circulatory tree. And we've been able to help people who suffer from angina, from intermittent claudication, leg pain, arthritic symptoms, chronic fatigue, Alzheimer's, dementia, a long list of other degenerative conditions. And basically people just sit there and have this thing going through their veins and pulling out all these toxins. Unfortunately, it may also pull out other minerals such as copper and magnesium and so on. So we do advocate that patients take a multiple mineral supplement and other specific nutrients while they're getting the therapy. And they usually get this therapy approximately once a week. We monitor kidney function tests and other blood tests to make sure that there aren't any significant side effects. And, you know, it's quite amazing for reversing diseases for which in the past what doctors have only been able to do is bypass surgery or very toxic cardiovascular drugs, etc. So I've been very pleased.
That's fantastic. Now, what about somebody that has had a hair analysis and you find out they've got a buildup of, say, aluminum or cadmium or mercury? What would your process involve from that point?
Well, in the past, what I've tried to do is I've tried to give antagonistic minerals. So, for example, somebody had a very high copper level, we'd give them zinc. Someone had a very high mercury, we'd give them selenium, etc. But now if we see things like mercury, lead, arsenic, etc., then we put them onto chelation right away. It works way more quickly.
And is there a downside to chelation therapy?
Well, the only downside that I could think of is potential mineral deficiencies in essential nutrients, including calcium, magnesium, chromium, manganese, and others, as well as potential damage to the kidneys. Now, we monitor that very carefully. And if patients are on other medical drugs, then we have to be especially careful.
This isn't something we do at home. We need medical intervention and expertise from someone like yourself.
I think so. I know that there are some people advocating oral and rectal suppositories for chelation, and I have used that in my practice for a couple of years, and basically I've been very disappointed. I would say that 80% of the time it didn't really do very much of anything. So I've shied away from those, and I'm now really an advocate of the intravenous form.
Now let's move away from that into an apparent topic. We've got, obviously, an epidemic of obesity, over-fat conditions. People are literally eating themselves to death. And what is your take on this?
Did you see that movie, Supersize Me?
Absolutely, several times.
Last night by some fluke. Unbelievable what's in fast foods. Unbelievable.
Well, what I liked was that he went through an analysis procedure, including a fitness assessment.
Yeah.
And then the outcome after less than 30 days was a warning by these expert health practitioners to stop what he was doing.
Yeah, and these were actually conventional health practitioners, which is quite funny.
So what is your take on this apparent addiction to food that people actually call food? I mean, how do we bring this thing to a conclusion and wrap it around in a different direction?
Well, rather than telling people, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and just giving them a whole bunch of don'ts and rules, I prefer to get people motivated to exercise because, you know, I showed them this particular study, for example, in a journal called Obesity Research, which was, I think, published in June of last year, if I'm not mistaken. But in that journal, basically, they said that people that walked, you know, at 2 miles per hour, you know, which is very, very leisurely, slow walking, if they did that an hour to 2 hours a day, they would lose more weight and they would feel a lot better, and their joints wouldn't bother them as much as if they were actually briskly walking 3 miles per hour. You know how it is that, you know, people believe that they have to, you know, hurt themselves in order to get better. They have to, no pain, no gain philosophy.
Yes.
Well, here's a study that showed that people can actually, you know, not only lose weight, but feel a lot more invigorated by just basically slowly exercising, taking the time away from their regular day, you know, and just going for a leisurely walk for an hour a day. I've had patients in my practice who I've done this with and who were never able to lose weight in any other way, And I've gotten them to basically, in the wintertime when it's very cold over here, I've got them to go into the malls and to just do mall walking up and down, you know. And I've had people lose 35 to 50 pounds over a period of 6 months, you know, without really making any changes in their diet. And usually when you get people to do one thing like that that's very beneficial, that then follows with, well, what can I do here as far as better nutrition? Then they get more interested in their nutrition. Then they start taking a few supplements, you know. And so one thing leads to another, and eventually you get tremendous results without, you know, having them go through a lot of pain.
Now, getting back to the tennis, for those of our subscribers who actually play tennis, and it's a great game, what advice do you have for a tennis player, maybe in the same age range, for prevention of injury, preparation for the sport, from a nutrition point of view?
Well, I think the most important thing, personal experience, is hydration. If you are not well hydrated, and it's amazing how much water you do lose in a tennis match, if you're not well hydrated, you're going to get tired relatively quickly. So that's probably number one. The second most important thing would be to eat lightly. Don't eat a lot before you go out there. It's just not the right thing to do. I know in hockey and other sports, they eat a lot and they go out there and they burn off all these calories and they feel great doing it. But in tennis, it's quite the opposite. The other thing is, it's not a bad idea to get a nutritional assessment. Find out what your mineral levels are. Get a hair analysis done. Get some routine or basic blood tests done. And see what kind of a program you need to be on so that you can optimize your performance.
Well, that's great advice. Now, I know you also as the medical editor of the Encyclopedia of Natural Healing.
Right.
And this is a wonderful reference guide. I actually was honored to participate, you know, in writing some of the material as it relates to sports nutrition. For those who don't know about the guide, can you tell us about the guide and how we can use it as a home reference?
Well, I think one of the best things to do, if you get this book, is read the first 500 or so pages. There's a very good description of the history of natural medicine, all of the basic things that you would need to know. And then once you've got that, you know, it's all very entertaining as well as informative. But then you can use the book to look up specific diseases or specific conditions or different types of therapies. For example, there's a section there on live cell microscopy, which is something that I find very valuable to use in my practice. And there's a section in there on how to treat cancer, the approaches to different diseases. So you could use it as a reference. And it's the thing about this compared to other encyclopedias is that it's actually readable. And the pictures in it are, a lot of them were taken by the publisher Siegfried Gersh. And they're fantastic pictures. They look like, you know, like art pieces. And so, you know, I recommend both reading it and plus using it to look things up in periodically.
You know, Tracy and I recently attended the sort of send-off for Siegfried at the last, most recent CHFA trade show. We missed you there because we know you probably were invited.
Yeah, I was. I couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and all of our busy schedules and everything. But you're right. He did make a huge contribution, and I know that he really put himself out on the limb in many different ways to get this thing into reality. But we've sent out a copy of this to everyone in our family, all our friends. It's just a great reference guide. It's a handy-dandy kind of a quick reference tool that can put information on the plate, so to speak, quickly, and help people make decisions to improve their health.
I think I was one of the last people to get a copy. I think I've got the last 75 copies of the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the book as well, and you know, it's there's so many people that contributed to it. It makes it unique.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Well, our time is gone, and it's been a great interview, Dr. Rona. And do you have a website that our listeners can go to find more information about you and perhaps purchase some of your books?
Well, the website is under construction at the moment, but I have an email address, and you can take this down. It's zoltan77@bellnet.ca. And anybody could write to me there if they want to.
Okay, very good. And just to bring our interview to a conclusion, we always like to ask our expert guests to make a final commentary on what their take is on health and how to achieve it. What does it mean to you, Dr. Rona?
Well, it means quite a few things, and I believe it's, to me, health is having the high energy freedom to enjoy life as you were meant to enjoy it. I believe it's something that gives you a positive feeling about the future. That's health to me.
Dr. Zoltan Rona, very well-known medical doctor practicing in Toronto, author and very strong advocate of natural medicine and healing. We thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.